ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Text 21. पीत्वा पपादपापद्भो पीत्वा पपादपापद्भे आसन्नानात्ममूर्तय प्राक्षामास्तपा शांता प्राक्षामस्तपसा शांता यथा कामानुसेवया यथा कामानुसेवया Pitva, having drunk, apa, water, padapa, the trees, padbhi, with their feet, asan, assumed, nana, various, atmamurtaya, bodily features, prak, previously, kshama, emaciated, tapasa, by austerities, shanta, fatigued, yatha, as, kama anusevaya, by enjoying acquired desired objects. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation: the trees had grown thin and dry because after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his healthy bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. Please repeat. The trees had grown thin and dry, but after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. Purport. The word pada means foot. Pa means drinking. Trees are called padapa because they drink through their roots, which are likened to feet. Upon drinking the newly fallen rainwater, the trees in Vrindavan began to manifest new leaves, sprouts and blossoms, and thus enjoyed new growth. Similarly, materialistic persons often perform severe austerities to acquire the object of their desire. For example, politicians in America undergo grueling austerities while traveling about the countryside campaigning for election. Businessmen also will often deny personal comfort to make their business successful. Such austere persons, upon acquiring the fruits of their austerity, again become healthy and satisfied, like trees eagerly drinking rainwater after enduring the austerity of a dry, hot summer. Om Jnanam Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Vayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The trees had grown thin and dry, but after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his healthy bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. Hare Krishna. Very nice to, very grateful to be here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And I'd just like to request the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, devotees present here, so we can discuss this wonderful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse comes as a part of a narration of verses describing the rainy season in autumn in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And it gives various metaphors, various descriptions, and then it relates that with the qualities of the great souls or people in general. So through this description, it's also teaching us great lessons. So today in this verse, the topic of austerity is being discussed, that how austerity is very important, and how anything anyone achieves in this world is through austerity. And austerity is not just for devotees. We see that even the materialist, that's the point partly being made here in this verse, that even the materialist, they have to perform great austerities to be successful in what they do. There's so many interviews of these very famous people, very rich people, and they all tell their story how in the beginning they had to work so hard day and night on their business, and then they're successful. Great politicians, we feel, oh, they're enjoying such luxury, it is true. But before they reach that place, they have to work so hard. Nothing comes without hard work. Nothing comes without great austerity. They have to work so hard to get that position. Like there's one president in the United States here, Prabhupada, especially mentioning American politicians for some reason. I guess it's maybe a little less corrupt, so they have to work harder to get the votes. Here you can, or maybe, I don't know what the reason is. But politicians in America, Prabhupada is saying, so there's one president, I forget his name, but it said that he tried something like over 100 times to be president before he actually became president. In terms of campaigning, in terms of rejections. He tried so many times. He kept trying, he kept failing, he kept trying, he kept failing. And then he reached his destination, his goal, his desired mindset. So similarly, we see that in our scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, virtually every devotee reaches perfection, reaches the mercy of Krishna, by after performing great austerities. There's no question. They all perform great austerities, and as a result of those austerities and their devotion to Krishna and of course the mercy of the Lord, they're able to reach the Lord. But as far as their own effort goes, as far as their part, they all perform austerities. No one achieves the Lord without performing austerities. And you may say, well, what about Kripa Siddhas, and what about, these devotees didn't. But there's actually a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the section of Kardam Muni and Devahuti, where Srila Prabhupada himself says this. We're saying this based upon Srila Prabhupada's words. In the purport to Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 3, Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, in order to spiritually advance or to achieve the mercy of the Lord, one must be self-controlled in the following manner. He must be restrained in sense gratification and must follow the rules and regulations of religious principles. Then he says here, without austerity and penance and without sacrificing one's riches, one cannot achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord. I'll read it again. Without austerity and penance, and without sacrificing one's riches, one cannot achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Gardama Muni advised his wife, you have factually engaged in devotional service with austerity and penance, following the religious principles, and giving charity. Then the Supreme Lord will be pleased with you, and He will come as your son. So we find, like in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, that once in a while devotees become very great, and they get pure love of Krishna simply by Lord Chaitanya's embrace. So yes, those examples are there of someone simply just by the mercy of the Lord receiving pure devotional service. But 99% of the time, generally speaking, here Srila Prabhupada is saying, always one has to perform penance and austerity to receive the mercy of the Lord. In so many other places in the Bhagavatam, also the famous verse, right, that Srila Prabhupada quotes again and again, Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Brahma Sokhyam Tanantam, that Brahma Sokhyam, the happiness of the spiritual world, the happiness of Krishna consciousness, is achieved through Tapo Divyam, and that happiness is eternal, imperishable, and unlimited. But it comes by austerity, by penance. So, knowing this, Srila Prabhupada gave us a process in which there's austerity, right? There's some austerity. And this is why he was so against Sahajism. What is a Sahaja? A Sahaja is not necessarily someone who dresses up like a gopi and tries to do the Rasa Leela. A Sahaja is someone, Srila Prabhupada describes, who makes something very advanced, very cheap. Who makes something very valuable, makes it cheap. That is a Sahaja. So we all have the Sahaja tendencies, right? Which Prabhupada curbed in us, by telling us that no, the process of bhakti is perfect and sublime, but we still have to perform austerities. Otherwise we won't get the result of those penances. We won't get the result of that devotional service. We won't get the result of the chanting. We won't get the result of the reading, the practical devotional service. And what were those penances that he gave? Those were the four regulated principles, right? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. These, he said, must be performed alongside the chanting of Krishna's holy names. And then we will more quickly achieve the taste in chanting. Or as a result of chanting, we will start to give up these things and perform these austerities to please the Lord. So this is one austerity. Another austerity that Srila Prabhupada gave us was to chant 16 rounds every day without fail. This was another austerity that he gave. And he said, we must perform this austerity to receive Krishna's mercy. He said, then Krishna will take us, he will take us back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada will take us back home, back to Godhead. So, although these are very simple, in this day and age, Srila Prabhupada knew that these would be great austerities for us. In a very nice explanation on this topic, Srila Prabhupada writes that our austerity for devotees of Lord Chaitanya, of Rupa Goswami, is to make the instruction of the spiritual master our life and soul. That is our austerity. So Kardama Muni, Dhruva Maharaj, all these great personalities, they went to the forest and they performed great austerities and penances. They fasted and only ate leaves and a few drops of water every day. So we may not be capable for that, So Srila Prabhupada says that the devotee's austerity is to make the instruction of their spiritual master their life and soul. And if he does that, then that pleases the Lord. And by that austerity one can achieve Krishna's mercy. And that in the Gita is that verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Guru Nandana, that Srila Prabhupada actually read before he came to the West. That the austerity of the devotees is to, with resolute determination, fulfill the instruction of their spiritual master. And in fulfilling that instruction, they'll have to perform unlimited austerities, like Srila Prabhupada did, right? Had 3 heart attacks on the way, came to America with nothing, as an old man in the middle of winter. But he took upon those austerities simply to please his spiritual master. So that is true austerity. That is true penance. So here in this verse, it's being described that the materialist, they perform austerities for material things. And during their austerities, they become very lean and thin, and they become very, they sacrifice so much. But once they get the result of their austerities, then they flourish because they get the material opulence and then they enjoy the royal pleasures like Hiranyakashipu did, and they start to flourish and become very, very happy. Now, devotees of Krishna, they also perform austerities, but the key thing is that they don't do it for material things. They don't do their austerities for material pleasures. They do austerities only for the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna mentions in the Gita that 4 types of people come to him, Chaturvidam Bhajante Imam, and these people are pious, but they're not pure devotees of the Lord. The fact that they're coming to Krishna for material things, they're still pious, but the pure devotee comes to Krishna only for Krishna's love. So when we are practicing devotional service, in the course of also fulfilling the instruction of the spiritual master, we need to be careful that we are not doing this for some material benefit. We have to be careful that we are not performing great austerities in our devotional service with the motivation of some material pleasure and material happiness. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean coming to Krishna for material things doesn't necessarily mean that we are coming to Krishna for something material. So we say, oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to Radha Shyam Sundar saying, oh, please give me money or wealth. So therefore, I'm worshipping Krishna purely. No, Srila Prabhupada further describes it that going to Krishna without material desires also means that we are going to Krishna are going to Krishna without any ulterior motives, without any material desires to be fulfilled, but also that we don't give up our devotional service in spite of any difficulties. Why? Because if we are practicing devotional service, and in the course of our service there'll be great austerities, and we give that service up when difficulties come, then in some ways that means that we are going to Krishna for happiness. We are approaching Krishna for some material comfort. We are expecting some material comfort. And when Krishna makes it difficult for us, then we are giving up that devotional service. So this is one of the stages of bhakti. It is called taranga rangani, where although the devotee is not exactly consciously going to Krishna for material things, but in the course of devotional service, when we are serving Krishna, we start to enjoy the benefits that devotional service provides. The many, you could say, pleasures or happiness that comes as a result, respect, honor, comforts that come as a result of our devotional service. And the devotee starts to feel that this is part of bhakti. That is called taranga rangani. It is one of the anarthas on the path of devotion. And in due course of time, a devotee may become attached to those things. And having become attached to those material pleasures, when Krishna takes those away, then the devotee also thinks, oh, this service is too hard, or that devotee gives up his service to Krishna for some time before coming back to serving Krishna. So Prabhupada describes that pure devotional service is serving Krishna in spite of all circumstances, in spite of all difficulties. Because then the devotee knows that I've joined this Krishna consciousness movement. I've come to this movement not to enjoy, but to serve Krishna. Not to enjoy, but to perform austerities for Krishna. And therefore the devotee accepts these austerities upon his head. So there's a very beautiful verse by King Kulashekhar where he makes this point very clearly, how he is willing to, he wants Krishna's devotional service even if it means suffering in the hellish planets, even if it means going through so much suffering. This is a text 4 of Mukunda Mala Stotra by King Kulashekhar. He says, Naham de, naham vande, tava chanaryor dvandva dvandva hetor, kumbi pakam gurumapi narakam napunetum, ramya rama mridutanulata nandane napivantum, bhave bhave hridaya bhavane bhavayeyam bhavantum. Bhave bhave hridaya bhavaye bhavayeyam bhavantum. So King Kulashekhar, he says, Naham vande tava chanaryor dvandva dvandva hetor. He says, I don't worship your lotus feet for freedom from the dualities of this material existence. He says, I don't worship you to gain relief from the sufferings of this material world, which oftentimes we do, right? We come to Krishna consciousness and we think, now my life of happiness has begun. And we find something to the contrary. Oftentimes, although it's so much more happiness than material life, we sometimes forget actually that how painful material life is, but still we find so many difficulties. So he says, I don't worship your lotus feet for freedom from the dualities of material life. Naham vande tava chanaryor dvandva dvandva hetu, kumbhi pakam gurumapi narakam napanetam. Nor do I worship your lotus feet to avoid the hellish planets. Specifically, Kumbhipaka hell, which is considered the worst hell. Just like many people, they come to Vrindavan Dham or they worship Giriraj to gain freedom from going to hell, or freedom from suffering, or freedom from some pain. So he's saying, I don't worship you for this reason. And I was thinking in my own heart that, you know, so many times I thought I worship God because I want to avoid hell. And even the Christians say, heaven or hell. And because they don't want to go to hell, this way they inspire people to worship God. It's actually true that historically in Christianity, this was used as a preaching technique. They were teaching the doctrine of eternal hell to scare people in worshiping God. Which is fine, you know, at least there's some impetus. Fear is okay. Fear of God is the beginning of spiritual life. But here Kulashekhar is saying, I don't worship you to avoid the hellish planets. Ramya Rama Mridutanulata Naapane Bhavirantum. I also don't worship you for something positive, for some material benefit. He says, I don't worship you to enjoy the pleasures of heavenly life. He specifically says, to enjoy the soft-skinned women in the heavenly planets. So then why do I worship you? Bhave bhave hride bhavane bhavayeyam bhavantu. I worship you so that birth after birth I may remember you. I may just remember you. I may remember your glories and be able to serve you. So the devotees of the Lord, their worship of the Lord is one of selfless service, simply the desire to please Krishna, one of unalloyed devotion. They are not worshipping the Lord for something material, nor do they expect something material. and they continue worshipping the Lord in spite of any material difficulties. They continue to worship the Lord. They are more interested in the Lord's happiness than in enjoying the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, he showed this by his own example. Right? He was very, Srila Prabhupada was very comfortably situated and was performing his bhajan towards the end of his life. But he would go to Delhi towards the, you could say, when in his later years. Srila Prabhupada retired here in Vrindavan. But he would go to Delhi just to distribute Bhakti Gaudiya magazine, publish his books. During his travels to Delhi, he would so many times get, once he had a heat stroke, another time he fell off of a rickshaw or tanga. And then finally he went to the Western world, sacrificed his life to go there. Why did he do this? He was situated in perfect Krishna consciousness. He did this simply to perform austerities for the Lord, simply to please the Lord through his austerities. And therefore Krishna in the Gita also mentions this. He says, yajna dana tapa shocham. He says that even great souls never give up austerities, sacrifice and penance. Yajna dana tapa. Right? These things, even the great souls who have no need to perform them, who are the Lord's associates, they're their eternal friends in the spiritual world, they still perform them and they never give them up. They're never given up by them. So I was thinking that we could read the austerities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna speaks about, just to complete our discussion here on austerities. And also finally I should mention that after the devotee performs austerities for the Lord, or even during the course of his austerities, the devotee similarly, not due to the material happiness, but due to the mercy of Krishna, they flourish. And like the trees here in Vrindavan, they become very brilliant and begin to flower and give their flowers to everyone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, actually in his commentary to Bhagavatam, he says this. He says this, that Krishna's first shower of mercy, he says, comes in the form of tormenting pain, tormenting suffering. He says, Krishna's first shower of mercy, of bhakti rasa, comes in the form of great difficulties, great pain. But his second shower of mercy comes in the form of the taste of sweet bhakti rasa. And then he gives himself, Krishna gives himself, gives his very self to the devotee. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that yes, initially the devotee, due to performing great austerities for Krishna, becomes very, you know, dry, you could say, becomes due to his penance will maybe become very lean and thin, like we see in the case of Devahuti and so many other examples. Dhruva performed great austerities, but then after that, once they achieve the Lord's grace, then they taste the sweet bhakti rasa, and they flower and they give the fruits and the flowers of their own trees to the other living entities. So Krishna in chapter 17, text 14, 15 and 16, he describes the austerities of the body as speech and mind. So in text 14, Krishna says, austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. Right? Austerities of the body consist in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, the superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. I was thinking actually how the whole modern society, materialistic society, is all based upon no austerity. Srila Prabhupada, he says this. Vaishnava society is based upon austerity. Just like in modern society, they kill the child in the womb. Why? Because who wants to go through the austerity of raising the child? Take the enjoyment, the sense enjoyment, the pleasure of sense enjoyment, but then the result of it is austerity, some sacrifice. This is the way Krishna's made this world, that with some enjoyment, there's always some sacrifice attached to it. You can enjoy sense pleasure, but then you must raise the child. But modern society, Prabhupada says, they kill the child in the womb. So no austerity there. Then, for the children, they kill them. If by chance they survive, then they put them in the daycare. They don't have to take care of them. Then in the old age, when the parents become old, or anyone becomes old, they put them in the nursing home. Which actually I teach ethics. This is one of the subjects I teach in the university. Even just ethicists today, mundane ethicists, they question the ethics of nursing homes. They say these are like human warehouses, where they put the old people and the society forgets them. They have no life, no social influence. They're just, you know, fed food and, you know, you stay in the nursing home. So even materialists, they say how unethical it is. No sacrifice there. The youth, they're not thinking the same people who raised us, who took care of us, let us take care of them. No, put them in the nursing home so that I don't have to perform any austerity. So this is material society. If you're a child, you have a horrible life. If you're an old person, you have a horrible life. Only some young people are enjoying. Only they, you know, some enjoyment is there. That is a materialistic society. Opposite of that is spiritual society, where there's the worship of the brahmanas, the supreme lord, the spiritual master, the superiors, and a celibacy, non-violence, and simplicity. Then the austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. And also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So, austerities are many kinds. We have physical austerity, but even harder than physical austerity often is verbal and mental austerity. Right? Just like in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is especially pleased with the prachetas. Why? Because of the austerities they do, but it says specifically because of the way that they could cooperate together. Right? Their friendly relations. So Krishna is more pleased by that. Why? Because that's even more difficult to do. There are 10 brothers and they live together so nicely, which is rare in this material world. So austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, yet are pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. And also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So Srila Prabhupada explains this, that our austerity of speech is not exactly Vedic literature, but regularly reciting the holy name of Krishna. So we should always be chanting. And that's the greatest austerity, one of the greatest austerities, to keep chanting. The mouth wants to say so many things, but by regularly chanting, we are pleasing Krishna by the austerity of the speech. And finally, text 16. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. So satisfaction is something that we have to practice. It doesn't come by itself. One of our big diseases also in our modern civilization is dissatisfaction. Everyone's dissatisfied. As devotees, myself, I see dissatisfied. Today, let me have this also. Let me have a little more money. Let me have a little more respect. Let me have a little more fame. Let me have a little more comfort or anything. So we are not satisfied. We don't see that Krishna's already given me so much. Let me be satisfied. And let me utilize this time in chanting Krishna's holy names. This morning we heard the very sad news of Kandamakanana Maharaj having cancer. And I was thinking that, you know, this is such a reminder for us that we have such little time. We have to take this time to take the association of these great souls, because they don't stay in this world for such a long time. And then they leave us, they go. All great souls, they leave us over some time. So if we waste that time in trying to satisfy ourselves materially, we won't have time to associate with these great souls. A great opportunity is lost, isn't it? We spend time making money, earning money, but then we are not getting the best thing, which is the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. We miss that opportunity. So satisfaction, simplicity. So when we're satisfied, we'll lead a very simple life. Gravity. Not being whimsical here or there, but trying to, as we said, fulfill the instruction of the spiritual master. Self-controlled, controlling the senses in spite of being fixed. No matter what, I will not do this. And purification of one's existence. Fixing the mind on Krishna are the austerities of the mind. So, next verse, Krishna says, this threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme is called austerity in goodness. Right? So there are so many wonderful examples in our scriptures, and there's so many wonderful instructions given in the scriptures on how a devotee performs austerities. A devotee does not perform austerity just for the sake of austerity, but they do so according to the instructions in the scriptures and the sadhus. So I was thinking there's a lot in this verse, so I could stop here and then we can hear from the devotees present here. I can just, and then Q&A? Or? Okay. All right. So, let's see. So, we can look at some other examples also. We see that we mentioned Dhruva Maharaj's example on many occasions. When Dhruva Maharaj, when he wants to enjoy this kingdom, he wants to get the kingdom that his brother has, then he goes first of all to his mother, Suniti. And there he expresses, his eyes are burning like red copper leaves, it said. And he goes there with a great complaint. He is very angry and he wants to take revenge, right? He wants to satisfy his burning desire for the kingdom, and also, more importantly, his revenge. He's very angry. So at that point, his mother gives him great instructions. Suniti gives him great instructions, which are very relevant to us. She says that, actually in this world, no one can help you. In this world, especially in your case, says your father is the emperor of the entire world. Right? He is King Uttanapad. He's the emperor of the entire world. And no one can discipline the emperor, right? There's no one above him. So she says, in this world, the only person who can help you is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. So she says, if you actually want justice, if you actually want the kingdom of your father, if you want to take revenge, then go to the forest and seek out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Go to the forest and find the Supreme Lord. And He can help you. Only Krishna can help you. And by pleasing Him through your austerities, then Krishna will fulfill all your desires. But then she gives him one instruction. She says, before you go out, he says, but she says, before you go out, give up your envy. Give up your envy in your heart for your younger brother, Uttam, and your stepmother, Suruchi. And then go find out the Supreme Lord. So, She says that worship the Supreme Lord to fulfill whatever material desires you have. But she further tells him, but don't try to take revenge against your brother and your stepmother. And don't go with ill feeling, with an envious heart to the Supreme Lord. If you want to fulfill your material desires, then go to the Supreme Lord, ask Him for these things, and He will fulfill your desires. She says, your father, Uttanapad, became the king because he pleased the Lord through his austerities. Your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, became Manu because he pleased the Lord. Your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, became Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe. How? Because he pleased the Lord. In fact, Lord Brahma is the best example for austerity. Right? He is the beginning of our entire sampradaya. We see Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya. And when he's born on the lotus flower, there's nothing there. And the first words that he hears when he's born on the lotus flower is tapa, tapa, austerities. And then he realizes that through austerities, everything will become revealed to him. And then it's described that Lord Brahma performs austerities for 100 years of his own lifetime. And then after performing austerities for 100 years of his lifetime, then he sees the Lord and he gains all knowledge. Now Brahma's lifetime is 311 trillion years, Prabhupada says. So sometimes we perform devotional service for 10 years or 20 years and then we become very frustrated because we say, oh, I'm not getting any taste. I'm not experiencing something. I didn't see Krishna face to face. What happened? So we do 20 years and we expect great results, which due to Lord Chaitanya's mercy, actually we can get great results due to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But Lord Brahma, he performs austerities for 311 trillion years. Then he sees something, right? So she says, your great-grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, became Brahma due to his austerities. So she says, similarly, if you also want the kingdom of your father, then you also please the Lord. Don't try to fight for this or become envious. But please the Lord, and if you please the Lord, then you will get everything that you desire. So a great lesson is told here by Queen Suniti. One of the things is that we shouldn't be envious of anyone. Because anyone who gets anything gets it by pleasing the Lord through their austerities. Even Hiranyakashipu, like we said, the great demons, they become great demons because at some point they please the Lord. And therefore Srila Prabhupada actually says that a devotee will respect a head of government or a minister or a policeman. Why? Because the devotee understands that the power of the Lord is present there in them because somehow they please Krishna at some point and therefore they have that position. So Krishna respects that position that Krishna has given them the devotee respects the mercy that Krishna has shown them or the blessing that Krishna has given them. But the second lesson also that we learn from Suniti's example is that we should perform austerities for Krishna. Right? Dhruva Maharaj performs austerities to see Krishna. And within 6 months he sees the Lord and he gets something even higher than the kingdom he wants. He gets the kingdom also and he says, I don't want this kingdom because now I have you. So austerity we must do. But rather than performing austerities for this and that, to please this person or to get this job or this money, we should perform austerities to please Krishna. Because if we please Krishna, then we are pleasing a grateful master. Otherwise we perform austerities in this world and we please mundane people and they take the benefits of our austerity and yet they're still ungrateful. Right? Therefore, Uddhava says, he says, Aho bakiyam sanakala kutam. He says, where in this world will I find a more grateful master than Lord Krishna? And he says this because Lord Krishna made Putana, this great witch, into his own mother because she was giving his breast, her breast, though it was covered with poison. And Krishna saw her as his mother and said, "She is my mother." And he gives her the spiritual world and he gives her the position of his own mother. So Uddhava says that if we're going to serve someone, which is our own nature, we should serve the Supreme Lord because he is a grateful master. Everyone leaves us, but Krishna accompanies us within the heart, life after life. Krishna never leaves us. So he is actually our real friend. He is looking after us. And many devotees have this experience in this dham especially, right? How Krishna is looking after us. He personally reciprocates with his devotees. He takes care of them. So we should worship a grateful master. We should perform austerities for Krishna, for spiritual things, not for material things. And then Dhruva, having received this instruction, then he goes to the forest and there he finds the Supreme Lord. There he sees Krishna, and after seeing him, he says that, "I was searching after broken pieces of glass, but now I have found true gems." So even if we go to Krishna for material things, like is being described in this verse, even if we are going to Krishna for something material, if we go to Krishna, but with a non-envious heart, if we go to Krishna giving up our envy, and we worship Krishna, that "I also want this. You please give this to me." Then in the course of that worship, we will hopefully lose that desire. By Krishna's mercy, we lose that material desire, and we get Krishna's complete mercy. So now I'll stop here. Thank you. If there's any comment or question, we can take this. Very nice question. The question is that sometimes austerities can make our heart hard. So how can we avoid that? And this is actually another reason you described so nicely, that we should do austerities in devotional service for Krishna. Because those austerities don't harden the heart, but they soften the heart. And the example that Prabhupada gives of this, perfect example in the Bhagavatam, is of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj is also performing very, very terrible austerities, you would say. He's been fasting for a year. And then he's breaking his fast with just, you know, one drop of water. So very, he hadn't drunk water for a year. Such intense austerity. And Durvasa Muni is also performing great austerities. But when they both meet, then Durvasa Muni, he has an anger problem. He gets very angry at Amrish Maharaj and he starts to curse him and this and that. But Amrish Maharaj, as a result of his austerities in devotion to Krishna, he becomes even more compassionate and loving. So everything must be imbued with bhakti, and bhakti is the key principle there. But the more we perform, the more you could say we service we do for Krishna, the more actually our heart becomes soft. So the effect is the opposite. Thank you. Maybe one, any Mataji back there had a comment, Mataji, or a question. With the microphone, I'll take my chair, yes.
It was an excellent class. And also, I just wanted to share that actually, Sunidhi also says that do not wish bad to anyone, but if you inflict pain upon others,
come back to
you only like that. That is very, I always remember that, because it's very important for all of us to remember that if we wish something bad to others, that will come back to us only like that. So you'll be very careful in that conversation.
Yes. Thank you. Actually, very nice comment. Yes. So the comment is that when instructing Dhruva Maharaj, Suniti also says that do not wish ill of others or wish harm upon others, because then that comes upon our own self. And that doesn't help us. Yes.
Thank you, Sir Guru. Thank you, Guru.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just I have a wonderful mind. Because of the section of the Vedas, this section of Vedas is with this flowering waves, and the flowering waves concerns Karmakanda. So this comparison that Shripadi is giving, so how is it different from the section of Karmakanda?
How is what different from the section of Karmakanda?
This comparison, Shukadeva is giving about austerity, otherwise performance, austerity,
just like. Yes.
So how is it different from the section of Karmakanda?
Yes. Actually, what's being described here is Karmakanda, because he's saying that we are performing austerities. That these people are performing austerities for material things. In the course of doing the austerity, they become very lean and thin, but as a result of that austerity, then they get material opulence and then they become materially very, you know, happy. So this is Karmakanda. This is, you know, worshipping Krishna, worshipping Lord Vishnu, but for material things.
One to wonder again, what? The end of the interpretation lies here in this kind of.
What?
Yeah, the purification lies in hearing this kind of description.
What's the purification?
Yeah,
yes. So they are describing that this is the situation of the materialist. But your question is, well, why are they describing this? They're describing it because different devotees will understand this on different levels. Like the acharyas, they comment on other levels. They push us up and they say that the devotees of the Lord, they don't want something material, but by the blessings of the Lord, they flourish. But those who are on a lower platform, they will read this and say, oh, let me worship Lord Vishnu, so that after my austerities, I will flourish materially. So Karmakanda is also there for the purification of the soul. This is why it's written in the Vedas. So it's the gradual process, but it's still part of the process for some people. Krishna's telling us, move beyond it. So we're not interested. Devotees of the Lord are not interested, but still, by doing this, one becomes purified. That's varnashram, right? Gradually, through the purificatory process, one worships the Lord, even for something material. They're pious, Krishna's saying in the Gita. They worship the Lord for something material, for some material thing, but in the process they become purified. So by reading this verse, one who has that desire will feel inspired, right? So different devotees on different levels will will understand this in different ways. Yes.
Thank you for your nice class. I wanted to highlight one thing. You were addressing two different things in Dhamma Prasadam also, like endeavoring in Krishna consciousness for the sake of Krishna the opposite of doing austerities for one's own benefit. So we have to, in Krishna consciousness, we have to always see that the mission is of our Guru Maharaj's predecessor Acharyas is being represented, and but not to be complacent with our own Krishna consciousness and our own benefit. And then in another place you were addressing also envy, to understand when someone is in a position that that he is in the position by the mercy, by the grace of the Lord. So this endeavoring for pushing on the mission of the predecessor Acharyas, if we don't do it, as Srila Prabhupada was once telling Yamuna, that if we don't pass on what we have learned from the predecessor Acharyas, then actually we develop envy. We are envious of other living entities. We should, like parents, we should, and they are always endeavoring to benefit their children in some way or other, perform great austerities. So we also, as individuals in Krishna consciousness, we should not just endeavor for our own perfection, but that is automatically achieved by wanting to benefit others.
Such a nice comment. For those of you who may not know, this is Mother Nartaki. She's a very senior devotee in our movement.
This is Gopal Hari Prabhu, who was brought up by very loving Vaishnava parents, and who has an elder brother also who is very famous in his preaching of Krishna consciousness. So you're very lucky to
hear this class. Actually, Mother Nartaki actually inspired my parents in Krishna consciousness in Los Angeles in around 1983. So we're eternally grateful to her. And the very amazing one point that she's made that I can just repeat maybe again so we can remember it, is she was mentioning how Srila Prabhupada told Mother Yamuna how if we don't share Krishna consciousness with others, if we don't preach Krishna consciousness with others, if we have Krishna consciousness, we have this knowledge, but we don't give it to others, then we will become envious of others. Because when you have something very nice and we don't share it with others, then that is envy actually. Then envy will develop in our heart. And she described how parents, they always try to share whatever good they have with their children. And this is part of love. In the same way, if we have something wonderful, but we just perform austerities for our own benefit, then we will become envious. But if we perform austerities to preach Krishna consciousness and liberate others and help others, then by that austerity itself, that will be our own austerity. That austerity itself becomes our own austerity, and Krishna is pleased by that, specifically, greatly pleased by that austerity. Thank you for reminding us of that, Mother Nartaki. Thank you. I think my mother also has a comment. You can ask.
Dangerous that is, and I was thinking how in the case of
Indian Murti in Kandamuni, he immediately renounced, you know, when he got it. So Krishna gives offerings to these devotees just to show how they can renounce. And all these devotees, such as Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they're not attached. But what do we do in our case where it's kind of a little risky, right? So what is the answer for that? Because Krishna at the same time, he says the rewards that he gives to the devotees is permanent, whereas to the ritualist is temporary. So should we see that? So when Krishna, you know, smashes us and wants us to fall down, then should we see that as that providence being, you know, temporary, and we continue to be reformed, come back to our senses? I'm just a little bit like, should we clarify that aspect?
So first, the comment is a nice point that Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, we see some devotees who are very opulent, like Gardamuni and Devahuti. They're flying this, you know, this divine airplane, which is more opulent than Indra's abode. And sometimes devotees receive opulences, but we see that they are either not attached to it and they're accepting it only for the service of the Lord. Like King Prachina Bharishad accepted the kingdom only for the service of the Lord, Maharaj Yudhishthir also. Or after they receive it, they renounce it. They give it up, and Krishna gives it to them to show the world that the devotee receives opulence. He doesn't have a shortage of material opulence, but he doesn't care for it. He gives it up also. Like Prabhupada also said this. He said, you know, he had everything, yet he could give it up. He didn't need it at all. And so this is a devotee does not become attached to any opulence in this mature world. Then your second part of your question, I didn't fully follow it.
Well, how should a practicing devotee who's going through that see this? And how can we be careful?
Yes.
Okay. Should we see it as something, you know, the opulence that we get in terms of, you know, talent, special talent, yes, recognition? Yeah. Is that something that Krishna is
going to
be temporary?
Okay, yes. So actually, His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj actually one time said something very nice. He said that these six opulences of wealth, fame, you know, beauty, these are actually great encumbrances in our spiritual path. This is why Queen Kunti says, akinchana gocharam, that a devotee must be materially exhausted to actually come to Krishna earnestly. However, if the devotee is 100% dedicated to the Lord and is engaging these opulences in the service of the Lord, then these opulences can actually become great assets in his spiritual life. They can actually help his spiritual service to the Lord. And the devotee should only accept these only for our service, so much so that we can handle also. So based upon our level of advancement. So let's say, you know, a devotee is born in a billionaire family or a millionaire family. They're born with great wealth. A devotee doesn't have to just give it up, but a devotee can take that money and engage it in the service of the Lord. And that is called Yukta Vairagya. That is true renunciation. That's the principle of Yukta Vairagya, that whatever we have, we give it up, but we give it up in a way that we engage it in the service of the Lord. Similarly, someone may be a very nice artist or musician, and they may use their talents in Krishna service, all the while being very careful of material life. So seeing that the opulence is only good enough, or it's only good as much as it is good for my service to Krishna. And maybe we'll just end with this anecdote, since Mother Nartaki mentioned Mother Yamuna, that Mother Yamuna was once offered by George Harrison. He said, I can make you one of the greatest singers in America, because he was one of the greatest singers. And he said, just, let's do that. And she said, no, I cannot leave my service to Srila Prabhupada. He says, I won't leave Srila Prabhupada. So he was willing to make her one of the greatest singers in the world. What a great service it would have been, right? Yukta Vairagya, she would have engaged in the Krishna service. But she says, no, I won't give up my service to the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, his association, that's more important. And then he said, okay, let's make a Hare Krishna album. And that's when they made Ramakrishna album. And they kind of fulfilled both in that way. They also made a record. So a devotee accepts it only so much so as it's good, or utilizes it. Even utilizes it. Doesn't accept it for himself, but even they utilize it only as much as a spiritual master tells them to, or is it in service to Krishna. The rest they don't care for. So, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for your very kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.